former wide receiver for the Chicago Bears.
The guy's amazing.
1989 All-Madden team and afternoon co-host on ESPN Chicago.
I think he's going to start at least 8 games in the National Football League next year for a team that's going to give him a chance.
It's Waddle Wednesday with Tom Waddle.
Listen, I got a pedicure in an hour. When I get back here, the wheels better be spinning, all right?
On Cap'n G-Hood, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Waddle Wednesday on the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And Tommy's on the hotline.
That'd be the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline, Johnny.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
The Chicago Bears.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning to you, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Tommy, go ahead.
You know what? First of all, I think I've said this before. I was on the 91 All-Madden team, not the 89 All-Madden team. I was still scrapping and trying to find a way to join the practice squad back in 89. So I just wanted to say that.
Tommy, thanks for your time.
Okay, good night.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Do you know who else, Jonathan? Do you know who else the other receivers on that team were, on that All-Madden team in 91?
Now, who's that, Tommy?
Golden Richards?
That's not funny, Cap. Like, I'm not that old.
Golden Showers, then.
Rest in peace.
Excuse me.
Rest in peace, Golden Richards. He just passed.
Art Monk.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin. Jerry Rice. Like, I was in elite company there, Jonathan. I just want you to know that. Don't know if you knew that or not. Freddie Barnett was on that group. Remember Freddie from the Eagles?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let you know,
Hoodie,
part of the squad.
Can you tell me what NFL receiver that you know has a higher career yards per catch average than Keenan Allen?
Tom Waddle.
Amen, Jonathan. Jonathan's not playing because it didn't take him long to get that answer. Cap was stumbling. Duh, I don't know. Back when I asked him.
Well, Tommy.
Actually, not true, but.
I'd like to ask you about a place that you played, and that is Soldier Field. We have not heard on this show your thoughts about your connection to Soldier Field, playing as a Chicago Bear, and the possibility of the Bears playing somewhere else. You've been in this city long enough to know how the politics work and how it does not work. I feel like Kevin Warren continues to play politics, saying, we got renderings, and we got a shovel ready to go in the ground in Chicago. What do you say about a new home for the Bears, one way or the other?
First of all, I always considered it just a blessing to be able to play in such an iconic place. Now, you know, you just were looking to be on a team at that point. But when when you're coming out from underneath the goalpost and you're announced as a starting wide receiver for the Chicago Bears and it's Soldier Field, like, there's a little extra something special about that. I think that you understand the importance of the organization. It's the charter franchise, the history, and all of that. And that does play into it, and I was always cognizant and aware of all of that. But there were times, guys, when that field was just dog track. I mean, like, I remember going out there for the playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys in 1991. I believe we played on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I think we went down to practice. You know, I don't know what Coach Ditka was thinking. Like, we're going to go down there and just, you know, get into a game routine for the playoffs. It's like, Coach, I mean, this isn't new. We do this for all of our home games. But okay, you know, whatever you want to do. So we went down to Soldier Field to practice. And I remember walking out onto the field and we were out there. It was brown. It was dirt. Like, there was very little grass. It wasn't the fault of, you know, our maintenance guys or in our, you know, our group. It was just, that's what it was. You guys remember it probably every bit as I do. Mm-hmm. We came out there for warm-ups on Saturday when we played the Cowboys. It was Kelly Green. Like, they painted the field. Like, wasn't grass. They didn't resod it. They just painted it. So, I mean, like, and I will say this, though, now, as much as that place is a difficult environment to get in and out, I think the access is not great, and I don't go very often, so I'm not an expert on it. I will say this. They've done a marvelous job with the turf, or with the grass, with the field itself. It is spectacular. It's kept up, and it looks great, and it functions well, even in difficult weather. So I give them a lot of credit for that. With that said, though, Jonathan, and this is where, you know, I love you, but I respectfully disagree. I don't believe Kevin Warren is playing politics. I truly believe that in his heart, Kevin Warren, there's only one choice for this stadium, and it's downtown Chicago. I don't think he's trying to play. And I know, Cap, you feel differently as well about this, but I
I believe you're accurate. I think in the end, they'll end up in Arlington Heights because, A, I think the dumbest thing to do is build one in the city, and, B, the Friends of the Parks are going to have you tied up in litigation, and, C, the renderings I've seen or the plans that I've looked at, they have to reroute Lakeshore Drive underneath everything.
I don't know
that's
how they're
$1 billion.
Yeah, it's not even that, but it's the timing of it. Like, it's look, I went to school in Boston when the Big Dig occurred. That thing was supposed to take like 5 years. It took 20 years. It was $8 billion over budget. Jeez. Now it's a different project, but like, there's no chance you're going to be able to I'm no engineer. You guys know that. I can barely put words together. But there's no way they're going to be able to reroute traffic on Lakeshore Drive and other places in a short period of time. I'm with you. I personally, if it was my choice and I had season tickets, and I once did and I don't any longer, and if I went regularly, I would want it to be in Arlington Heights, and you just build paradise. You build.
Agreed.
You can put a casino there. You can put restaurants. You can put a hotel. You can build a Bears Hall of Fame, you know, place that people can go 12 months a year. It'll be this spectacular venue that will have big events, and it'll have concerts and all of that stuff. That would be my choice. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that is even an option with Kevin Warren. I think he wants to build this downtown, and I think that he would tell you that, yes, the accessibility may not be what it would be in Arlington Heights, but that's part of the that's just part of the you know, the situation. You're going to have this grand stadium on the lakefront in one of the greatest cities in the entire world.
Yeah, but
I'm with you, Jonathan. Like, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
I'm just saying, like, if you're worried about B-roll, I mean, you could still be in Arlington Heights and still show the lakefront when you come out of break, when you come back from break.
Right, because it's still the Chicago Bears.
Yes. You can still show Sears Tower and then get back to Arlington Heights where you belong.
But I think if you follow the breadcrumbs, like, there has been this, you know, there's a playbook for this. He went to Minnesota when he was part of the Vikings, and they had purchased a place, and they were planning on building out somewhere outside of Minneapolis, and then they reversed gears, and they went back, and they built that. And from what I understand, I've never been in it. It's a spectacular place. Not only did they do it in spectacular fashion, it came in under budget, and they came in under time. So, like, he's got a track record for being able to do this. I'm with you guys. I never lived in Minnesota. My guess is life between the city of Minneapolis and the state officials in Minnesota, they probably get along a little bit better than the city and the state do in Illinois and in Chicago. And I just think that the hurdles are going to be just immense. And the longer, remember, guys, the longer this plays out, the more expensive it gets. Because, you know, if you put a shovel in the ground today, it's one price. If you put a shovel in the ground a year from now, guess what? It's going to be more expensive. And if you're talking the huge numbers that they're talking, the expense is enormous. It may be relative on a percentage basis. But, you know, if it was a $4 billion project and it was started next month, it may be a $6 billion project if it was started a year and a half from now, if you know what I'm saying. So I don't know how they're going to do it, guys. I just think that there is a true intent to make it a Chicago stadium. And, boy, I mean, he'll be a magician if he gets it done from my, you know, inexperienced perspective.
We'll get some baseball thoughts as Tommy's Reds, my Cubs, Hoodie's White Sox all tee it up tomorrow to start the season. That's next.
Tune in.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Tom Waddle with us on a Waddle Wednesday here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. You got to read for Tommy what Lance McAllister from WLW in Cincinnati
I was just looking at Twitter, and I saw the exchange between Cap and Lance.
Yeah, this goof.
Whoa. You stopped the name calling.
I love Lance. He's a dear friend. Whoa. He's a goof. And at the Cap Man, at DK Sportsbook, has the Reds 81.5, Cubs 84.5. I'll take 3 wins, and our bet is on. We bet I either get food treats from Cincinnati. They're not many, so I get Grater's ice cream.
Which, by the way, you can get here in Chicago because it's so delicious and so fantastic.
Correct. It instead of that swill here. Known as Skyline Chili.
That's Dang. Just up to, that's an acquired taste.
I wouldn't feed that to my worst enemy. And then.
You wouldn't?
I wrote back to him and said, multiple sites have the Cubs at 83.5 and the Reds at 81.5. 2 games is the wager, my friend. He said, let's split the difference and call it 2.5. And I said, I was born at night, just not last night. No.
So how would you handle that, Tommy?
Look, I don't blame Lance for trying to get a little extra, padding. But I think if the consensus is 2, I think you stick with 2.
Take that, Lance.
You bargain for it, but maybe you jack up the odds. Maybe it's like -110.
So he gets a couple extra pizzas from Malnati's, or I get a couple extra quarts of or pints of ice cream.
Yeah, yeah, you could do that.
I will tell you that Grater's Black Cherry Chip, their signature flavor. Oh, God.
Hey, I don't mean to hijack this show,
I'm
but
not
can
surprised,
I ask, can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
What do you guys think happened with Ohtani?
Well, now, a bunch of reporters yesterday asked his representatives, which agency did you report this massive theft to? We're not going to comment. And they have reached out to a bunch of their police sources. Not one of them has confirmed that they've accused, gone through filing charges.
Well, since you asked, Tommy, my thought on it is that Ohtani's no different than the rest of us.
Yeah.
He comes from a different country and says, you can gamble here and it's on your phone and there's an app? Holy smokes. What a country. All of a sudden, he's doing stand-up with a Russian accent.
Right.
But nonetheless, I think that he's like anybody else, Tommy. It's like you give someone an inch, they will take a mile. Even though there's signs everywhere not to gamble, you can't gamble on sports. I believe that Ohtani was aware. Now, I'm just want to know what the fallout is from it.
So, Jonathan, you think he was the one actually gambling?
I believe that he was aware of it. Yes.
You know what's funny is I get it. He's the biggest thing that's happened to Major League Baseball in a lifetime, and he's almost like a gift from above, from the baseball gods, for a sport that is contracting with regard to popularity and viewership and all kinds of stuff like that. And the last thing this sport would ever want is to have that, to take a hit for any reason. But, they've got to be transparent about this. And this is what I said too earlier about it is like, look, if you're that vehement that this guy was stealing from you and stealing $4.5 million, I would think you would try to have him prosecuted to the full extent of the criminal capacity, right? So, and if you do that, I think that they're gonna have to dig deep. I don't think this story's anywhere close to being over.
No, but the question is, does the commissioner have teeth? And the answer is no to that. But I mean, in this situation, does he have teeth? Will he be treated like Rose was treated if it is found that Ohtani bet on baseball?
He has to be. You can't. Well, Pete Rose was the all-time hits leader. And by the way, like back then, baseball was more popular than football, or maybe not when Pete was at the tail end. But for anybody who thinks that, if you did that with Pete back then, you've got to treat Ohtani with the same measure of severity, don't you?
Well,
yes.
Well, there's dollars, there's cents, though, is it not? I mean, this is the biggest international star in baseball. Some would say the face of the sport. So how do you handle that if he's not there, Tommy? I mean, that is a factor, I would imagine, in the front office.
No, offices. I get you, Jonathan, but, like, wow, what a scam that would be, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about that would be if, in fact, they try to sweep this on the rug, and this is just all speculation, I get it. If that was the case and they try to sweep this under the rug and then because like we get some pretty good reporting out there, like this would be the goal of several people to really get to the fine facts of all of this. And it's proven that they tried to do something like sweep it under the rug. It'd be the biggest story in decades.
Tommy, did you hear Pete Rose speak very eloquently yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
You say eloquently, right?
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
I will say, look, if he was just gambling, if he was just gambling on other sports, like there was a pitcher with the Marlins, all they did was fine him. I don't care about that. Like, it's wrong, you're fined. But, you know, if it's, listen, you can't, as someone who was an enormous Cincinnati Reds fan, you can't have a different scenario unfold just because of the cash cow that this guy is, if, in fact, something nefarious was going on.
Do they turn a blind eye to it, and all of a sudden now Ohtani plays basketball for a year and he comes back? Is that a possibility, Tommy?
Well said, John. Well said.
Does Ohtani come back with number 45 on his back?
So good. Yes. So good.
I'm just saying, man.
That was so great. Good.
I mean, because, but again, we can't be surprised in 2024, Tommy, with this commissioner saying, oh my God, if he's out of the sport. And by the way, the sport's not going to die without Ohtani. But right. Again, the international appeal there with Ohtani. Going to a Sox game when he's with the Angels, so many kids with Ohtani jerseys.
Yeah.
So many. And I was like, and I said, I know it's not 300 kids that came off a plane from Los Angeles to be here. No, they're the Chicago area kids. They're there to see Ohtani.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, I'm still like, if for whatever reason, if something bad happened and they had to remove him from the game, I'm still going to watch.
Sure.
I'm still going to watch the Cubs. I'm still going to watch the White Sox. I'm still going to watch the Reds. Wow. It's still going to be an appealing product to me to a certain degree.
All right. All right.
We got to roll. Have a great day, Tommy.
Don't cut him off. He was on a roll for God's sake.
No,
we got to go.
I got somewhere to go.
Have a great day.
Do you know where you're going besides hitting that
going
wall?
Going to the bathroom, Jonathan. Oh. I've been holding it for 15 minutes.
Waddle has a bathroom the size you could land a plane
in.
That's
not true.
Have
That's
a
not true.
Great line. Day. We love you.